Hello, everybody. Today is Wednesday, April 24th. I am Bill Murphy here with the front pages. I'll be reading from the New York Times and the Hartford Courant. Take a look in at the pictures on the front pages of each paper. An overhead shot. This is a picture on the Times front page. It says, "Where politics and water mix." And I will read the caption. Green alfalfa fields sprawl for miles alongside a town of dirt lots in Arizona, where Democrats see an opening as water takes center stage as a political issue. And just as it says, it's an overhead shot. You can see it looks like a neighborhood underneath the picture of the alfalfa field. So that will be my story. I'm going to read that story from the Times. And a nice picture over on the Current. It says frolic in flowers. There are three pictures. First one, a larger one, Isla Kretschmer. She's 5 years old, and she's there with her sister, Romy Kretschmer, and she's two. And they play along the flowers at the Robert A. Prill Tulip Garden at the Elizabeth Park Conservancy in West Hartford on Tuesday. It says Ayla and Romy are visiting from California with their mom, and they're frolicking through their cute little girls with dresses on, having a great time frolicking through the beautiful tulips. Underneath is a picture of a lady. Her name is Sierra Jackson. She's of Dallas, and she's standing among the tulips for photos. And the third picture is a picture of Lindy Nolan. She is enjoying tulips with her daughter, Rebecca Wood, and their 16-month-old granddaughter, Amelia Wood. They're lying down and looking at the flowers. So those are the pictures on the front page of the Current. And I'm going to read that story now that accompanies the picture that I just described in the New York Times. It is from La Paz County, Arizona. In Arizona's deeply conservative La Paz County, the most urgent issue facing many voters is not inflation or illegal immigration. It is the water being pumped from under their feet. Giant farms have turned Arizona's remote deserts about 100 miles west of Phoenix as green as fairways, the product of extracting an ocean of groundwater to grow alfalfa for dairy cows. Water experts say the pumping is sinking poor rural towns. The ground in parts of La Paz County has dropped more than 5 feet during 3 decades of farming. Pipes and home foundations are cracking. Wells are running dry. What's going to happen if they take all the water? Asked Luis Zavala, 48, who emigrated from Mexico 2 decades ago to pick cantaloupes, another water-intensive crop that has been mostly replaced by hay for cows. And the article continues now. He works at a water and ice business in Siloam, population 700, selling 5-gallon jugs. Even as political battles over abortion consume Arizona's capital, Democrats have seized on water as a life-or-death election issue that they hope gives them an opening, however slight, to reach out to rural voters. Water made me attorney general, said Chris Mays, a first-term Democrat who campaigned on cracking down on farms in western Arizona. This is exactly the kind of issue we can win back some of the rural America. Summers of record-setting heat and drought have raised doubts for many Arizonians about whether the state has enough water to sustain its farms and fast-growing cities. Rural residents say they are particularly vulnerable. They have fewer sources of water and less money than big cities like Phoenix for larger reservoirs or new wastewater treatment plants, and they do not have the authority of urban areas to stop unlimited pumping. A survey last month by Noble Predictive Insights, a Phoenix pollster, found that 60% of voters believed that the state is running out of water. Still, Democrats face suspicion in places like La Paz County, a patchwork of emerald-colored farm valleys and scorched mountain ranges whose mild winters draw retirees in RVs and van life vagabonds. For years, populist Pinto Democrats, named for the multicolored horse breed, survived in these rural corners of Arizona like cactuses in a hostile desert. They supported gun rights, defense, and infrastructure projects that slashed federal money around the community, said Tom Zollner, author of Rim to River, a chronicle of Arizona's history and politics. In 1996, La Paz narrowly supported Bill Clinton's re-election, while Arizona's biggest urban county, Maricopa, went for his Republican opponent. But now, La Paz's population, 17,000, reflects much of rural America's transformation into bedrock of MAGA land that accelerated with former President Donald J. Trump's appeal to disaffected white voters. Winter residents playing billiards at the Cactus Bar wear Let's Go Brandon t-shirts mocking President Biden, and Trump flags flap from the off-road desert buggies that rumble through the mountains. Mr. Trump gained ground over Democrats in rural places in 2020, winning 65% of rural votes compared with 59% in 2016. According to the Pew Research Center, La Paz County has gone even deeper red, even after denying that there was a drought in California and proposing deep cuts to the federal agency that oversees major western water projects. Mr. Trump won La Paz by 40 points in 2020. Some of his voters scoffed at the idea that the Democrats' water offensive could make them reconsider their politics. Absolutely not, said Jim Downing, an engineer who works with farms in the area. He accused Democrats and the news media of concocting a water crisis for purely political reasons and said that big farms had been demonized for taking advantage of a legally available resource. Nevertheless, he joined a crowd of about 150 at the public library in Wendin, a La Paz farming town, one afternoon in April to hear Miss Mays talk about water. The turnout was far higher than the few dozen local officials had been hoping for. Miss Mays had been canvassing the sites of Arizona's water crises. She has held packed meetings in rural communities where groundwater pumping by a huge dairy farm has opened up fissures in the earth or where people 400-foot deep wells are going dry. She pointed out that she and Governor Katie Hobbs, a first-term Democrat, had gone after a Saudi-owned farm in La Paz County soon after taking office last year. Critics said the farm, Fondamonte, had been pumping nearly unlimited amounts of water on land that at least cheaply from the state to grow alfalfa for export in the Middle East. Ms. Hobbs canceled Fondamente's leases on the state land. The company is appealing. In a statement, Fondamente said it continued to farm on other properties and used innovative ways to reduce water consumption. The company has said it was the third largest private employer in the county and generates $145 million annually in economic activity for the state. Ms. Mays told the crowd in Wendin that she was investigating whether she could sue to stop the large farms. She argued that the erosion, road damage, failing water tables, and other damage created by huge farms could potentially violate Arizona's nuisance laws. I'm going to go over to the Hartford Current, and I have a few stories on the front page of the Current. Here is the first one. State employees received final approval Tuesday for pay raises of roughly 4.5% for the next fiscal year, prompting approval from Democrats and sharp skepticism from many Republicans. The contract covers 46,000 employees and includes a 2.5% general wage increase plus an annual step increase of about 2% for a total of 4.5%. The State House of Representatives approved the union deal by 106-44, with all negative votes coming from Republicans, although nine other Republicans voted for the agreement. The Senate voted 1 hour later in a similar manner on strict party lines, approving the measure by 24-12. The increase is part of a wage reopener in the fourth year of a four-year contract that was negotiated with the administration of Governor Ned Lamont and will cover the next fiscal year that starts on July 1st. House Speaker Matt Ritter, a Hartford Democrat, said the increase was needed as a raise for our hardworking state employees. That was a quote. State Representative Michael D'Agostino, a Democratic attorney who led the debate on the House floor, said, quote, our state employees are the backbone of our government. They are our lifeblood. We planned for this. We budgeted for this, end quote. The average salary for a state employee in Connecticut is about $75,000 per year, he said, adding that only a few coaches at the University of Connecticut earn more than $1 million per year. These are good middle-class jobs, D'Agostino said. They are the middle class here. They live here. They work here. This is a good deal. But Republicans said the raise would end up increasing the state budget that would eventually lead to increasing taxes or cutting spending. They noted that many groups, including nonprofits that perform state services under contracts, are still searching for additional funding as the state budget is only $1 million below the spending cap in a $26 billion annual budget. Lawmakers are scrambling to finish the overall spending plan before the regular legislative session ends on May 8th. Representative Tammy Nuccio of Tolland, who serves as the ranking House Republican on the Budget Committee, said that one of the aspects that bothered her is that more state employees need to travel to the office rather than working remotely at home. I have a really hard time supporting any agreement that does not address work at home, Nuccio said. That weighs heavily on me with this contract. And we have another story, these two stories about the aid to Ukraine bill from Washington. The Senate voted overwhelmingly Tuesday to move ahead with $95 billion in war aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, bringing the bill to the brink of passage after months of delays and contentious internal debate over how involved the United States should be abroad. The vote to end a filibuster drew the support of 80 senators, 10 more than supported the bill when the Senate first passed it in February, virtually guaranteeing that the bill would soon reach President Joe Biden's desk. The $61 billion for Ukraine comes as the war-torn country desperately needs new firepower and as Russian President Vladimir Putin has stepped up his attacks. Ukrainian soldiers have struggled to hold the front lines as Russia has seized the momentum on the battlefield and gained significant territory. Biden told Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky on Monday that the U.S. will send needed air defense weaponry as soon as the legislation is passed. The House approved the package Saturday in a series of four votes, sending it back to the Senate for final approval. The president has assured me that the package will be approved quickly and that it will be powerful, strengthening our air defense as well as long-range and artillery capabilities, Zelensky said in a post on the platform X. U.S. officials said the Pentagon is poised to send $1 billion in new military aid to Ukraine, the bulk of following in coming weeks. The legislation also would send $26 billion in wartime assistance to Israel and humanitarian relief to citizens of Gaza and $8 billion to counter China and Taiwan and the Indo-Pacific. In an effort to gain more votes, Republicans in the House majority also added a bill to the package that could ban the social media app TikTok in the U.S. if its Chinese owners do not sell their stake within a year. The foreign aid portion of the bill is similar to what the Senate passed in February, with some minor changes and additions, including the TikTok bill and a stipulation that $9 billion of the economic assistance of Ukraine or to Ukraine is in the form of, quote, forgivable loans, unquote. Those changes appears to have brought nine additional Republicans on board, meaning a clear majority of the Senate GOP conference supports the legislation. February vote on an earlier version of the bill was 70 to 59.